welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's comedy in this hour, later on from the Bob Hope Show from 1953. But first, a broadcast of the Eddie Cantor Pabst Blue Ribbon Show, this NBC episode from November 19th, 1948.
Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
I'll have some roast turkey with all the fixings and a cold bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yes, sir. Finest beer served anywhere.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents
the Eddie Cantor Pabst Blue Ribbon Show.
With guest star George Montgomery, our weekly guest, Mrs. George Montgomery, Dinah Shore, Bert Gordon, the Mad Russian, the Sportsman, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, yours truly, Harry Bonzel, and starring your man Friday, Eddie Cantor.
Hold it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a special announcement. If we call you tonight by telephone during this program and you answer, will we be surprised?
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta.
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta.
We gotta get going. Where are we going and what are we gonna do? We're on our way to somewhere, gang of us and you. What'll we see there? Who will be there? What'll be the big surprise? There may be senoritas with dark and flashing eyes. We're on our way.
We're on our way.
Pack up your pack.
We'll pack our pack.
And if we stay,
and if we stay,
we won't come back.
We won't come back.
How can we go?
How can we go? We haven't got a dime, but we're going and we're gonna have a happy time.
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta.
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta.
Now someone said they just came back from somewhere. A friend of mine that I don't even know. He said there's lots of fun if we can get there.
If that's the case, that's the place, the place we want to go.
We gotta get going.
Where are we going and what are we gonna do?
We're on our way to somewhere, all 33 brews and you.
What do we see there? Who will be there? What do we think? Surprise!
There may be senoritas with dark and flashing eyes.
We'll take a train.
No, take a boat.
We'll take a boat.
No, take a plane.
We'll take a plane.
No, ride a goat.
We'll ride a goat.
That's good, I think.
Oh, we don't care. We'll either walk or climb. But we're going, and you're gonna have a happy time.
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta.
Quanto la gusta, la gusta, la gusta, la gusta. We're going and we're gonna have a happy time.
The jump is jointing tonight, and Eddie, let me be the first to congratulate you on your 18th anniversary in radio. 18.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Harry. Just think, I've been on the air since 1930.
Yeah.
At that time, Herbert Hoover was in the White House.
Gosh, Herbert Hoover. Yeah. He was the last Republican president.
Well, yes, at least the Republicans are beginning to think so.
1930, gee, that's a long, long time. But let me tell you something, Eddie. You have been treated very gently by Father Time.
Well, thank you, Harry.
You sure have been slapped around by Mother Nature.
Oh, stop. Harry, remember, I'm your boss.
Oh,
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, I have to. With what you pay me, I can't afford to buy meat.
Look, now, don't spoil my day,
no.
Harry. I'm in a sentimental mood. This morning, Ida came in carrying an anniversary cake with 18 candles.
Oh.
And she asked me to blow out the candles and kiss her. I said, Ida, make up your mind. I'll either kiss you or blow out the candles. You know, I told her.
Well, why did you have to tell her that?
Harry, at my age, I can only whip up one pucker a day.
Oh, Eddie. Oh, hey, did you get any presents yet?
Well, naturally, my first gift was from Jack Benny. He gave me a three-piece smoking set.
No, a three-piece smoking set?
Yeah, here it is.
Two lucky strikes and a match.
Sure, and I was lucky to get the luckies. I've just been getting matches from Benny for nigh on to 18 years.
Truthfully, Eddie, is that all you got from Jack?
No, I also got a telegram. When it was delivered this morning, I gave the messenger boy a 50-cent tip. Opened the telegram, and there was nothing on it.
Well, How did you know then it was from Jack Benny?
He was the messenger boy. Oh. He makes more money that way?
I'll bet he does.
Let's get back to radio, Harry.
Okay.
Harry, do you remember in the early days assembling those complicated crystal sets with all those wires?
The crystal sets with the earphones?
Yes.
Gee, I remember I took some wire from my father's bed springs, tossed one end out of the window, then I took some more wire from his bed springs and tied the other end of the radiator, put on my earphones and heard it so clear.
Yeah, what did you hear?
My father falling through the bed springs.
1930 radio, those were the days with Rudy Valley. Remember, my time is yours.
Yeah.
And Baron Munchausen, was you there, Charlie? And Edwin, you remember Edwin?
Oh, yes.
Graham, the program is going to be different tonight. You remember that? And some of them are still popular today. Remember when you tune in, you hear, look, yeah, Brother Andy, the kingfish wanted to go fishing, so I took him in our fresh air taxicab.
Fishing, huh? What did he catch, Amos?
Nothing. Ain't no fish in that taxicab. What are you laughing at, Harry?
Oh, I always did love that park your carcass.
Huh? You've been on radio so long and you can't recognize H.B. Kaltenbaum?
I was in radio before Kaltenbaum. Did you know that?
No.
Of course, I got fired from my first radio job.
What sort of a job did you have?
I was a time signal man. You know, first you hear a rich, mellow voice announce the correct time, and then you hear bing bong.
You were the voice?
No, I was the bing bong.
The bing bong? Then, Harry, then, why were you fired?
Oh.
I say, why were you fired?
I bonged when I should have binged.
Oh, stop with that crazy stuff, Harry.
I'm sorry. Eddie, just think, when you were going into radio, Bing Crosby was just a poor, struggling vocalist with Paul Whiteman's band.
Yes, but he was smart, Harry. He saved his money. Every week he kept saving it. Me, I just threw my money away. Today, Bing is a wealthy, happily married man with four children.
Yeah, all boys.
Yeah, just goes to show what can happen if you save your money.
Yeah. All boys. And say, Princess Elizabeth had a boy. Even a princess had a boy.
Yeah, I had to go marry a duchess. How radio has changed since the old days. Today, everything is giveaway shows. They keep giving away more and more money. But you know something?
What?
Sponsors are beginning to feel sorry they ever started the whole thing.
Sorry? Why?
What do you think I heard last night? An announcer came on the air and said, ladies and gentlemen, the same sponsors who gave you Break Our Bank, Take Our Money, and Make a Million present a new quiz program entitled, Can We Have Some of It Back? What are you laughing at?
I bonged when I should have been.
Oh, Harry, you're a scream. You're a scream,
ain't
Harry,
a scream?
Yeah. Tonight at my party, you must put on a lampshade and make out like you're a girl,
oh,
yeah.
No.
You are coming to my anniversary party, aren't you?
Oh, Eddie, I wouldn't miss it. Anniversary.
Yes.
You know, I've got a wedding anniversary coming up pretty soon, Eddie.
Yeah?
Gosh, my mind keeps flashing back to that day when I was wed. I'm such a sentimental old fool, you know. I remember I brought something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Really? Why did you bring that was old?
Yeah, well, don't you remember? I picked you up on the way over.
And what about something new?
The new tuxedo I wore cost $50.
Uh-huh. And what was borrowed?
The $50 to pay for the tuxedo.
Harry, why did you bring that was something blue?
Eddie.
What?
Are you kidding?
No, I...
Oh, what a thrill to think back to the night we were wed. Everything was so perfect. Her eyes were so blue, and her hair spun with gold. Her lips were so warm, and the Pabst beer was cold. Old shoes and rice, and the beer was on ice. Two hearts blended, and the beer was splendid. Pabst Blue Ribbon. She called me her darling, and I called her dear. She poured out her heart, while I poured out more Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. The beer that's just right, not too dark or too light. Every bride's her coquette's on the side with Blue Ribbon. In our first home, it was 30 below. I'd built an igloo and filled it with snow. And when she asked why, I said soft and clear, my darling, to chill the beer.
Those 33 brews make one feel like a king. Cool off after tennis or a game of pong ping ping.
what are you laughing about?
I ponged when I should have pinged. On our first anniversary, we added the nursery. Oh, joy, came a boy with blue ribbons. And when he was born, life was simply divine. For he had his bottle, and of course, I had mine.
You hear it everywhere, finest beer served anywhere, 33 pints.
Oh, I pawned when
well,
I should have been.
Harry, oh, shut up, will you? Harry, I've got the buffet table loaded with delicious
yeah.
food. Look at it. Oh. Now, wait till you taste the hors d'oeuvres.
Eddie,
wait till you taste the hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. You had even more food, though, at your party last year. What did you ever do with all that food that was left over?
Wait till you taste the hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, Eddie.
Yep.
Hey, listen, the guests ought to be arriving pretty soon. Incidentally, I know Dinah Shore wouldn't miss coming to your party, of course, but are you sure you can count on her husband?
George Montgomery?
Yeah.
He's my pal. Oh. Harry, he's crazy about me. Dinah told me nothing could keep George from coming to my party tonight but an earthquake.
George?
Yes, Dinah.
George, honey, we're due at Eddie Cantor's house. What's taking you so long to get dressed?
I keep praying for an earthquake.
Now, look, honey, whenever we have to go to one of Eddie's parties, why do you always keep stalling?
Well, I'm not stalling. You know very well I can't go to Cantor's party until I find my cufflinks. I've looked for them in the big bureau and the little bureau. I've looked for them in the closet. Well, I've looked everywhere but in the dresser.
Well, why don't you look in the dresser?
If they're in there, I'm a dead pigeon.
Oh, George, there's no sense in our having a scene over it. Eddie invited 50 couples from Hollywood, and he'll be terribly disappointed if we don't show up. Just think of him sitting at his party all alone.
Look, if he invited 50 couples, how will he be alone?
This scene is being reenacted in 50 Hollywood homes. Oh, please, George.
Look, Dinah, you worked for the man. You have to go, but why rope me in?
George, look, now be fair about this. After all, when you asked me to go with you to that party your studio gave for Gregory Peck, I said okay, didn't I?
And what?
Well, what's the difference between Eddie Cantor and Gregory Peck?
And what?
And don't answer that. It's just plain silly. Now, darling, listen to me.
Look, why are you so anxious to go to his party?
Because Eddie's always loads of fun. All night long, he clowns around, he sings songs, he tells jokes. George, I have to go. I work for the man. Look, just this once, honey.
Darling, please understand, it isn't that I'm trying to get out of anything. It's just that, well, I have a headache. I don't feel good at all.
George, if we don't go to Eddie's party, you know what'll happen on our fifth wedding anniversary? He won't come to our party.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel better.
Eddie, why are you so unfriendly toward Eddie? He likes you so much. In fact, he told me he's going to make a picture, and he wants you to play the role of Eddie Cantor in it. You, George.
Me? Play Eddie Cantor? Dinah, let me ask you a question, darling. Now, be truthful. Do I look anything like Eddie Cantor?
George, I married you, didn't I?
Yes.
Does that answer your question? See?
Yeah. But about Eddie's party, try to understand, will you, darling? I'd go, but I'm really afraid of my headache.
Your headache.
It's just... Hello?
Hello, George?
Who was that?
My headache.
Oh, no. I can tell from your face it was Eddie Cantor. Now, George, let's go over. He'll sing for us.
That's it. If I hear him sing, if you knew Susie just once more, believe me... Hello?
Hello, George? We must have been disconnected. These party lines are always trouble.
Hello, can we cross me 7777?
Get off the line, Mr. George. Why
Eddie, I don't feel so good.
You'll feel better if you have some fun. Look, I just sang If You Knew Susie, and you missed it.
I feel better already.
Is this Crosby or Sabbath, 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 Sabbath? Get off the line, will you? George, I'm sorry you missed hearing me sing Susie. I'll tell you what.
What?
To make up for it, I'll sing it for you right now on the phone. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh.
Oh, brother.
George, you're really angry, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, George, honey.
What?
You look so handsome when you're angry. Especially tonight. Why do you look unusually handsome to me tonight?
Because you've been looking at Cantor all day.
Oh, George. Just the same, I think it was mean of you to hang up on poor Eddie. Now, here's the phone. Call him back and tell him we're on our way. Go ahead, George. Pick up the receiver. Go on.
Well, okay.
Susie kissed me, and she heard about it. Susie, like I know Susie. Oh, boy, what a girl. Well, how did you like the number?
Was that number Crosby or Sabbath?
No. Are you coming over, George?
I wouldn't.
George, you know the motorcycle you've always wanted? Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a good time at Eddie's party tonight, I'll get you that motorcycle.
Sweetheart! Oh, darling!
Well, I love you too, George. Hurry over.
Darling, I have a feeling I'm going to get that motorcycle. But do me one extra favor, will you?
What is it, honey?
Will you sing at the party so I don't have to listen to that owl?
Okay. Tell me how you like this.
Okay.
There is no verse to this song, 'cause I don't want to wait a moment too long to say that I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovely sleeping on the faraway shore. Out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Out on the briny with the moon so big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. On a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Good. Boy, is this some party?
Yeah, but I can't understand what's keeping Dinah and George.
Here we are, Eddie. Happy anniversary.
Oh, hello, Dinah. Hello, George.
Hi.
Nice of you to come, Dinah, especially when you're taking a midnight plane for Chicago to appear in the Harvest Moon Festival tomorrow night for the Chicago Sun. You know, I like
yeah,
that the time.
Yeah, with my luck, it couldn't have been tonight.
What did you say, George?
I said you're so right.
Well, of course.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. George, look at the lovely food. Isn't it beautiful?
Go ahead. Help yourself at the buffet table. Here's a fork, George. Make yourself a sandwich.
Thanks. I think I'll take a stab at this pot roast.
Yeah, ooh, ow, hey, watch what you're doing.
Say, George, you can't tell the difference between pot roast and ham? Dinah, have a little bite, and then you ought to do a number for the guests.
Well, I...
Okay, then I'll sing. Listen to this, George. You'll love it. George, you'll love it. It's all about Dinah. Brand new song.
Oh, about Dinah.
Yeah.
How does it go?
Listen.
if you knew Dinah like I know Dinah. Oh, oh, Dinah and George, when they're together in winter weather, Dinah feels so summery with George Montgomery. That's just a start, George. That's just a start. And I know what to do with the middle. Perhaps, George, you could tell me how I can end it all.
Well, George, shut up. come on, George. Let's go into the music room. We'll see you later, Eddie.
All right.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah.
I just met here one of your guests who claims to be a very important European radio executive.
Really? Who is he? Who can he be? Who? Bert Gordon, the mad Russian. Some pig's knuckles. You came over to help me celebrate my 18th anniversary in radio?
Your anniversary?
Yes.
Let me be the first to ignore you. Together,
yes.
By a strange coinkydinky,
yes.
18 years ago, I went to NBC to ask for a job. So this is my wooden anniversary.
Why do you call it wooden?
They wouldn't hire me.
So you went back to Russia?
Yes. There, I assembled my talent. And produced Russia's greatest quips program.
Quips program? What's the name of it?
Take it to Siberia.
Siberia?
Yes, that's where I used to struggle on my farm.
Yes.
My poor little farm. I started with nothing but a hammer and two sickles. Then I was left without my hammer.
Yeah, what happened?
One winter, things got so tough.
Yes.
I had to eat my sickles.
Wait a minute, Russian. You can't eat sickles?
Popsicles.
What finally brought you back to America?
Well, I was offered a job as a radio censor.
As a censor, how do you function?
Same as anybody else. let me explain.
Yeah.
When I would read Fred Allen's script, I would take out all jokes about his his baggy eyes.
Yes, yes.
When I read Jack Benny's
script... I think you got baggy eyes yourself. Here, take it. Try my glasses.
Well, I'll have to continue this conversation.
Go ahead.
See,
yeah.
When I read Jack Benny's script, I would take out all stingy jokes.
What did you take out when you read my script?
An Airwick.
Why did you quit your job as a censor?
On account of Benny and Al.
Yeah.
Every time I went to Fred Al to complain, he sent me to Portland. When I went to Jack Benny, he sent me to Rochester.
Well?
Who could stand all that traveling?
Boy, you fool, let me get this through your head. Portland is married to Fred Allen, so she is Mrs. Fred Allen. Now, do you know who Rochester is?
Mrs. Jack Benny.
Russian?
Yes.
Let me ask you something. When you were born, did the doctor lift you up and slap your father? A fine radio executive.
Right now, my interest is in television. Yes. Only last night, I was watching lovely Esther Williams on my television screen.
Yes.
There she was, standing at the edge of the swimming pool.
Yes.
Suddenly, she posed gracefully and dove into the pool. Just then, my television set broke.
How did it break?
I dove in after her.
I can't. What do you know about television?
I invented it.
You invented television?
Not only that. Recently, I invented something that goes a step further than television. It is called Hero Vision.
This is interesting. How does it work?
When you tune in on a program, you don't see anything on the screen. You just hear it.
But Russian, that's radio.
How do you like that? I invented radio, too. That's very funny. That's very funny.
What's very funny?
I bunged when I should have been.
Oh. Listen, you're a phony, you're a fake, and get out of my house.
A fine way to talk to me. The man who invented radio. The man who's responsible for your being on the air.
You're responsible? Russian, once and for all, let's get it straight. You did not invent radio.
I didn't? Then who did?
I'll spell his name for you. M-A-R-C-O-N-I. Now, who's responsible for me being on the air?
Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
He's so right. He's right.
Yes, Eddie, what?
Cookie, Dinah!
We're here.
Well, we're here, Eddie. What do you
where are the sportsmen? Where is everybody here?
We're all right here.
By the way, Dinah, where's George? Where's George Montgomery?
Somebody must have given him a motorcycle.
Gee, a motorcycle. Must cost at least $200.
$200? It cost $874.75 plus tax.
Really? He'll be back. So why don't we have a little life here? What have you all been doing?
Eddie, we've been rehearsing.
Yeah? Rehearsing what?
Well, Eddie, this being your 18th anniversary in radio, we all have something to say to you. Tell him, Dinah.
We love to spend each Friday with you. You've been a friend to all whom you knew. We're telling you just how we feel.
Eddie, speaking for all of us, from our hearts, we want you to know how proud we are to be associated with you. And what a joy it's been for all of us, not only because you've brought us laughter and music, but because you're always so interested in people and so earnest in doing something for them. So I'd like to call on everybody listening in to help us celebrate Eddie's anniversary by joining with him in giving a gift to a Yank who gave. When you go to a department store, buy an extra gift, leave it there, and through the combined efforts of the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, the AMVETS, and the NRDGA, those gifts will be delivered to a wounded hero in a veteran's hospital on Christmas Day.
To sing again, bring again the things you want us to. We love to spend each Friday with
you. Thank you, all of you. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
This program is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois. Written by Joe Quillen and Irving Ellenson, produced and directed by Eddie Cantor and Manning Ostroff, and sent you away with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Eddie Cantor Show on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from November 19, 1948. In the broadcast, Cantor celebrating his 18th year in radio, which seems just about right, 1930 being the year. One of Cantor's earliest surviving radio broadcasts dates back to the Chase and Sanborn Hour of December of 1931. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. And now, from the same year, she was starring alongside Robert Mitchum and Jack Palance in the movie Second Chance, actress Linda Darnell, a special guest on the Bob Hope Show next, in an NBC broadcast heard on February 18, 1953.
And now's the time for the Bob Hope Show, starring Bob Hope.
I brought my little nephew down to the studio wearing his Buck Rogers space helmet, and Paramount offered me $50,000 for him. They thought he was a new type camera. But that three-dimensional stuff is really something, isn't it? The idea is to create realism. You see, in Cinerama, the customers are surrounded by the picture because they use a curved screen. Of course, realism can be carried too far. Last week in Pasadena, they previewed a Cinerama Western, and the whole audience got wiped out in the crossfire. You know, they originally shot Road to Bali in three dimensions, but after the preview, Bing made them change it. In three dimensions, old Lard Bucket's pot was in the audience's lap. Of course, old Crisco Hips is on a diet now. He's eating nothing but lean money. But the new process intensifies everything three times. If a girl is beautiful, she comes out three times as beautiful. If a man is handsome, he comes out three times as handsome. The only thing I don't understand is why my next picture is called The Masked Marvel. I went to see the picture Buona Devil the other night with Phil Harris. I said, you need glasses to watch this. He said, okay, make mine a double. I walked into a three-dimensional Western picture the other night, and the people in the front of the theater were laughing themselves sick. Gabby Hayes' beard was tickling the first three rows. It can be dangerous, too. How'd you like to go to a movie and have your best friend swallowed by Joey Brown? I was amazed at how far the picture projects out of the screen. I told the lady sitting ahead of me that she dropped her fur piece, and it turned out to be one of Tyrone Power's eyebrows. But three-dimension can be a problem at drive-in theaters. If you park your car too close to the screen, Johnny Ray can flood your carburetor. We've got something even better now called Scooparama. You don't have to use those tricky Polaroid glasses with Scooparama. A perfect three-dimensional image is transmitted direct to your brain. There's only one thing wrong with the process. They've got to project the picture through a hole in your head. And you know, the Movie Academy Awards are going to be sponsored by TV this year. It's only fitting that the Academy Awards be given on TV. After all, there's some pretty good acting on television. Have you seen the wrestling matches? There was a story in the newspapers that read, Bob Hoop may win an Oscar this year. I was so nervous when I wrote it, I spelled my name wrong.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to yesterday. When Bob woke up, he felt as though he might have a cold coming on, so he sent for the doctor, who gave him a thorough examination.
It doesn't pay to take chances these days, Bob.
I know, Doc. That's why I sent for you.
Well, then let's see. I've checked your pulse and your throat. I better listen to your heart. Take off your pajama top, please.
Okay, there.
Well, now, let's see. Wait a minute. Bob, what's this bulky thing tied around your waist?
Oh, that. Well, Bing is out of town, and I'm keeping his money belt for him.
That's quite a belt. Is it safe?
Oh, yes. In case you try to grab it, a pygmy jumps out of one of the pockets and shoots you with a poison dart.
Very ingenious. All right, Bob, you can put your pajama top back on now.
Right. Well, Doc, you've examined me. Now, what's the verdict?
Mm-hmm.
Well? Well, what is it? Oh, brother, is this going to cost me?
Bob? As far as I can tell, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you except a slight cold. Your heart, your blood pressure, and your respiration are all normal.
Gee, that's wonderful.
However, there's so much flu going around that maybe I'd better give you a preventative shot.
A shot?
Yes. Just roll up your pajama sleeve. I'll get my hypodermic.
All right. There, I'm ready. Ouch! Oh, the pain is terrible. I can't stand it.
Bob!
Yes, doctor?
I haven't touched you yet.
Well, I was just warming up.
Look, Bob, there's nothing to this. I met Bill Goodwin downstairs a minute ago, and I gave him a shot. Now, let's get this over with. All right. There, it's all done. Roll your sleeve down. Oh, my goodness, look at the time. I've got another call to make. I'm due over at Frank Sinatra's house.
Why, is something wrong with Frankie?
I don't know, but it won't take long to find out. Examining Frank Sinatra is very easy.
It is, huh?
Sure, I just hold him up to the light.
He's sort of a living X-ray, isn't he?
Bob, as a further precaution, I want you to spend the rest of the day in bed. Now, take it easy, no excitement, and keep warm.
But, Doc, I've got my radio shows to do, my morning show and my nighttime show. Linda Darnell is due over here any minute for rehearsal. We were supposed to read the script this morning.
Well, that's all right. You can read, but I want you to stay in bed.
Oh, you almost through, Doc?
Oh, yes, Bill. I was just going. Goodbye, Bob. Call me if you need me.
So long, Doc, and thanks.
Oh, say, Bob, the postman delivered the mail. Here it is. There's a paycheck.
Oh, just put it anywhere.
Just put it anywhere? Now I know you're sick.
Why?
Well, don't you usually kiss it and dance with it for an hour?
Careful, Bill. I Love Lucy needs a combination announcer and babysitter.
Incidentally, Bob, Maggie Whiting sent over this recording of the song she's going to do on the show tomorrow night.
Oh, fine. I'll listen to it later.
And I... Oh, Bob, that must be Linda Darnell.
Well, the maid will let her in. Bill, help me straighten up the room. Get the newspapers off the chair.
Okay, okay.
Oh, and hide that bottle of Tony Cole Wave on the dresser. I wanted to think my Mamie bangs are natural.
All right.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah?
Did you tell Linda I was sick?
Oh, sure. I called her this morning.
Well, I've got an idea. I'll sort of make believe I'm really sick. She's a very sympathetic type. She'll want to hold my hand. You know, all that stuff there.
Bob, what are you trying to...
Hey, Bill, she's at the door. Go ahead. Tell her I'm sick.
Okay. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Bill. Say, how is he?
Well, he's very low, Linda. I think you got here just in time. Go ahead in, but don't stay too long. Doctor's orders.
Hello, Bob. How are you feeling?
Is that you, Mother?
Mother?
I can't see. It's getting dark. I can hear the beating of wings.
Well, that's strange. Bob, you don't look sick to me.
I am. I'm going beyond. Beyond, I tell you. I've put everything in order. I took care of my insurance. Sold my General Motors stock.
Say, are you going beyond or to Washington? You know, Bob, you look sort of cute lying there.
I do?
Mm-hmm. You resemble Whistler's mother. Of course, your whistle is a little bigger.
Please, Linda, I'm not well. Incidentally, you've been out today. Did you meet anybody I know?
Well, yes, it did, Bob. I was at the Brown Derby, and I ran into Georgie Jessel. I told him you were sick.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, he said, in case you take a turn for the worse, he's got a beautiful farewell speech ready.
Oh, good old Georgie.
And I also saw Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Did you tell him I was sick, too?
Oh, I sure did.
What did Jerry have to say?
Oh, nothing. He just sat there on Dean's shoulder eating peanuts and scratching himself.
Have gotten a day off from the zoo.
Well, look, Bob, seriously, do you think you'll be well enough to do the show tomorrow night?
Oh, sure, Linda. I think we ought to go right ahead with our rehearsal. By the way, I've got a record here of the song Maggie Whiting is going to do on the show. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, I certainly would, Bob.
Well, the record is right over there in the dresser. It's a song Maggie did when she played the Coconut Grove down at the Ambassador.
Oh, is this the record here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll... Why, Bob!
What is it?
I didn't know you used Tony Coldway.
Oh, that good one.
You know something? It's wonderful for Mamie Bang.
Yes, I know. Put the record on the phonograph, Linda.
Okay, here it goes.
Till I waltz again with you, let no other hold your charm. If my dreams should all come true, you'll be waiting for my arms. Till I kiss you once again, keep my love locked in your heart. Darling, I'll return and then we will never have to part. Though it may break your heart and mine, a minute when it's time to go, remember, dear, each word divine, that meant I love you so. Till I waltz again with you, just the way we are tonight, I will keep my promise true, for you are my guiding light.
Really sings it, doesn't she?
Oh, that Maggie's wonderful.
Bob, I'm back. How are you, old man? Got enough blankets? Don't want you to get cold, old man.
Stop calling me old man. I'm not an old man. I'm a young man, hardly more than a kid. In fact,
Oh, wait a minute, Bob. In a minute, you're going to be falling out of your crib.
Hey, just wait till you see what I brought you, Bob. Something brand new and exciting. A souffle salad.
Well, Bill, what's a souffle salad?
What's a souffle salad? What's a souffle salad?
Don't you know either?
I got one right here, Bob. Just look at it.
Oh, you delicious, exciting, rich, creamy, smooth salad, you. How I love that light, tempting texture. That tantalizing...
If you two want to be alone, Linda and I can leave, you know.
Well, I can't help it, Bob. Souffle salads are so...
Oh, and this one has the piquant delicacy of a chilled chiffonade with a light, airy mien that makes it an Epicurean delight.
You want to break that up for the peasants? does that mean in North Hollywood? What does that mean?
Well, I think I'll be going, Bob.
Thanks.
Since you probably shouldn't eat anything, I'll take the souffle salad with me. Well, take care of yourself, old man. I'm not an old man!
Am I, Linda?
Oh, of course not, Bob. Tell me, what do you hear from Grandma Moses?
Oh, she's fine. How about this? I'm surrounded by assassins.
I'll be back in a few minutes, Bob.
Oh, good for you. Now, Linda, we'd better start... we'd better start rehearsing for the radio show.
Oh, what are we going to do on the show, Bob?
Well, since your latest picture is Blackbeard the Pirate, I thought we'd do some pirate scenes.
Well, that's wonderful. If you're well enough to play a blood-curdling, swashbuckling role.
Oh, I love it. I'll get out there and blood-curdle till my swashbuckles. That's all. Well, I'm never too weak to buckle my own squash.
Well, all right, if you think we can do it, Bob.
Don't worry about my playing a pirate, Linda. I've played a lot of those rough, tough, muscular He-Man parts in the screen.
You have?
Oh, of course.
Gee, it's wonderful what they can do with modern movie-making techniques, isn't it?
Linda, are you implying that my muscles are fakesies?
Well, you're not exactly a victim of Mature, you know.
I have a big manly chest just like Mature's, except mine caves in where his caves out.
Oh, Bob, now you're not in Vic Mature's class at all. Why, he's famous for his biceps and shoulders with those big, knotty muscles.
Yeah, I have the same thing a little higher up, and they call me a knucklehead.
Well, Bob, you ready to start the rehearsal?
Yeah, let's take it from the top, Bill.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we bring you scenes from Linda Darnell's current picture, Blackbeard the Pirate. Let's go back now to the 17th century, when pirate ships were so numerous they practically controlled the Spanish Main.
Stow it! Blackbeard's coming!
Blackbeard himself?
Hi, lads. I'm Blackbeard, and I'm taking over your ship.
Oh, you think so, huh? Well, I just want to say...
Blabbermouth. Now, anyone else?
Hooray for Blackbeard, the greatest pirate of them all.
And the greatest sea fighter. With your last six cannonballs, you sank two privateers, two frigates, and two sloops of war.
And you can throw into Catalina Ferry.
But with no cannonballs left, how'd you sink that?
I kicked a hole in it with my foot. All right, belay, you lubbers. All hands on deck. Mate?
Aye, sir.
We're sailing. Cast off the bowline. Set the mainsail, the topsail, the top gallant sail, the upper topsail, the lower topsail, the foresail, and the royal fore upper topsail. Reef the spinnaker and trim the jibble. Want to make something out of it? Set the course north by northeast by east and keel haul the forecastle.
Is that all, sir?
Yeah, I don't want to be a slave driver.
Captain!
Yes?
Sire, we've just discovered a stowaway.
Good. Make him walk the plank.
But this stowaway is a girl.
The order still goes. Just point the plank into my cabin. Fetch her to me.
Captain, tell these men to take their hands off me.
A fiery wench. Tell me.
Yes?
Who holds the pink slip on you? Who is your owner?
I am owned by no man, sire. I was proceeding to the English Isles when shipwrecked and captured by filthy pirates. Yourself, their leader. I am Lady Edwina Mansfield, and I hold myself to be your peer.
You're one peer I'd like to tie up to. You know who I am?
You're the vilest pirate in the Caribbean. And to think that I should fall into the hands of such a low, evil man.
My family is equal to yours, Lady Edwina, in the American colonies. I assisted in the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Indeed? In what way?
When Benjamin Franklin pulled out a quill feather for a pen, I held the duck. Thank you.
you're a man of good birth, why do you waste your time in this unworthy pursuit?
Waste my time? Take a look at this.
A fortune. How came you by all this money, Blackbeard?
It's the loot from overtaking half a dozen clipper ships, a raid on the island of Jamaica, and a hot tip at Santa Anita.
I still say you're a fool to be a pirate. Look at all your battle scars.
I haven't got a scratch on me anywhere. I've never been wounded.
Then why do you wear that black patch over your eye?
I'm advertising Hathaway shirts. I'm the fellow that held the duck. I've been pretty busy. Look, Lady Edwina, why can't we be friends?
Never. I am your prisoner, sire, but I've not eaten this day. Me some food immediately.
Before we eat, here, have a glass of grog.
Thank you. Wow.
What's the matter?
Why, I cannot drink this fiery liquid. I am not used to such strong drink. It may affect my judgment.
Here, have another.
They say the mighty Blackbeard can drink a whole keg of this rum without stopping for breath.
It's true. I'll show you. I'll drink this keg dry. How do you get the cork out of this thing? And now, Lady Edwina.
Sail-ho!
Captain, an enemy vessel off our starboard bow.
Don't bother me with details now. I found the woman I want to marry. Lady Edwina, I have a very important question to ask you.
I wish I were dead. Trapped here in a pirate vessel, it's Captain the Rat living on the blood of the innocent. What is it you want to ask me?
Do you think the Dodgers will win the pennant? This year. Lady Edwina, I ask you an honorable proposal. Will you marry me?
Rat, viper, thief, murderer.
Keep going. There's a whole section of my diary you haven't touched yet. Well, how about it?
Me marry you? That would be a fine wedding indeed. Why, do you think I'd walk down the aisle with a thief, a cutthroat, and a murderer?
Well, I don't know. You invite your friends, I'll invite mine. Anyway, honey.
Morgan's ship, sire. With one shot, he's brought down half our rigging.
I'll talk to him. Ahoy, Morgan!
Ahoy, Blackbeard!
Everywhere, Vaughn Monroe.
Trim your ship, set your guns, and come in fighting!
Yeah, your mutter drinks Airwick.
Morgan's ship is almost upon us.
Ahoy, Blackbeard! Throw me a line!
Nothing doing. Hire your own riders.
Blackbeard, you must surrender while you can. Morgan's ship is twice the size of yours. He'll blow you out of the water.
Don't worry, I've got my cannon aimed. Watch what I do with this ball. Put it right in the side pocket.
I'm warning you, sir. If I take you, I'll give you 50 lashes.
I don't need that many. I've got small eyes. When I give the signal, Gunners, let him have it. All right, fire one. Now, fire two. Fire three! I knew I shouldn't have hired that gunner I met at Phil Harris's house.
Morgan's men are swarming all over your ship, Blackbeard.
At last we've captured you, you sniveling coward. So... you're the scourge of the Spanish Main.
That's what they call me.
What makes you think you're such a great pirate?
It's in my blood. I'm the seventh son of a seventh son of a used car dealer.
Chain him up! Make ready to burn this ship. There. We've doused your ship with oil, Blackbeard. Lashed you to the mast and piled gunpowder around your feet. Before I touch a match to it and set you adrift...
Have you any last words?
Yes.
What are they?
See The Road to Bally at your neighborhood theater.
All time for the memories of folks who pay no heed to color, race, or creed, and strive for good through brotherhood in every thought and deed. Why, we thank you so much.
I want to thank Linda Darnell for a wonderful show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, as I talk to you right now, people behind the Iron Curtain and wherever dictatorship rules are being persecuted for their religious beliefs. This persecution is nothing new, but there are new ways to fight, not with force alone. This is Brotherhood Week in America, a time for people of all faiths to join hands and hearts, a time to use the living example of tolerance as a weapon against those who would suppress not only the spirit of free men, but their right to worship as they choose. Brotherhood means giving the people next door, those across the street, the same respect, rights, and dignity that you want for yourself. This is Brotherhood Week. Thank you.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 18th of February, 1953. Wrapping up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark the Vonier. Thanks for tuning in.